The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 396 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. First things first, let me wish all of you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, all of the best in 2016. Hopefully you get some time to relax with family and friends. Sometimes we get so caught up in shopping and this and that, and next thing you know, the holiday's over, and you're thinking, where did it go? It's back to the daily grind, back to the 9 and 5. So take some time out this holiday, and be sure to spend it with family and friends. That's what it's all about. Week 15 in the NFL gave us plenty of thrills. We have some big games to talk about. Panthers-Giants, Steelers-Broncos, Texans-Colts, Cardinals-Eagles. I'll break down all of Sunday's action, including the absurd antics of Odell Beckham Jr. versus Josh Norman and the Panthers. That was insanity. I'll also have some playoff scenarios coming up. I love college football, but these early bowl games are terrible. Who's watching some of these games? I need to know. Now we even have teams with losing records playing in bowl games. Unreal. Break out the rusty nail and stick it directly into my eyeball. The Bulls have only played 25 games, and new head coach Fred Hoiberg is already getting ripped by one of his own players. Isn't that a great way to start? I'll tell you what Jimmy Butler had to say over the weekend. All of that coming up on episode 396 of the Sports Report. Paul Roberts with you every Monday here on The Grizz. That's GrizzlyProductions.tv. Keep those 5-star reviews coming in the podcast section of iTunes. You can download all of the shows there, and you can help to promote the show with the 5-star review. And of course, I'm always looking forward to what you have to say on Twitter, whether you agree, disagree. Keep the tweets coming. Tell your friends about the podcast. I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. We start in New Jersey with the undefeated Panthers and the Giants, who came into the week at 6-7, tied for first in the good old NFC East. There are two components to this one. First, the game itself, which was wild, and second, the actions of Odell Beckham Jr., who, as I tweeted Sunday, lost his mind in the second half and totally embarrassed himself. I'm still wondering where Tom Coughlin was during all of that. You don't leave that up to the position coach to address. You are the head coach. You're the man in charge. Handle it. Lord knows there are enough timeouts in an NFL game. During one of those breaks in the second half, when he's going nuts either on the field or on the sideline, Coughlin should have reamed him out. If you're the one human being who has not seen the footage yet, Beckham Jr. and Carolina's star corner Josh Norman were going at it all game long, yelling at each other, pushing and shoving each other, even slapping each other. Beckham was penalized for unnecessary roughness 3 times. Norman was also hit with a couple of flags. It frankly got embarrassing in the third quarter. The worst of it was when Beckham came running back to the pile. He wasn't anywhere near the play, and he launches himself right into the jaw of Norman. There was clear helmet-to-helmet contact. It was a total cheap shot. Norman never, ever saw him coming. An absolute BS play. And right there, referee Terry McCauley should have ejected Beckham. Enough is enough. Get him out of here. I mean, the league's so concerned now with concussions, right? We have a movie out with Will Smith and everything like that. They're always talking about helmet to helmet and eliminating that. While this was classic helmet to helmet, he's lucky that Norman did not break his jaw or suffer a concussion with that type of hit. It was completely over the line. If you look at the NFL rulebook, it defines flagrant as extremely objectionable, unnecessary, avoidable, and gratuitous. Well, put a check in the box next to all of those. That play clearly fits the definition. Clearly. He should have been tossed, and he should get a hefty fine this week. Lost his composure, acted like a donkey, about as mature as a 2-year-old, took a huge hit on the old Roberts respectometer. And he's a great player. He's got unbelievable talent. We've all seen his miraculous one-handed catches. But this was so absurd. He should have been thrown out of the game. Now the question is, will he be suspended? And there are already some reports, not confirmed yet, that the league's going to suspend him one game. I want to get your take on that. Should Odell Beckham Jr. be suspended for a game by the NFL? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. I saw one poll on ESPN.com. 81% of the voters said yes, he should be suspended. So let me know what you're thinking at the Sports RPT. Now, as for the game, this was just as nuts. Carolina went up 35-7 with 5.5 minutes left in the third quarter. It's a rout. I even had a buddy of mine say that he turned the game off. He went to do something else. Cam Newton's having a field day. The Giants come out of nowhere and storm back. They got some help from a blocked field goal and also a fumble by the Panthers on a zone read run play. Rashad Jennings broke off a 38-yard touchdown run up the gut. Eli threw an 8-yard TD pass to Shane Vereen. And all of a sudden, it's 35-28. We have a ball game, and there's still 5.5 minutes to go. I was shocked. Thought it was over. With less than 2 minutes to play, Eli found, guess who? You got it. Odell Beckham Jr. on fourth down for a 14-yard touchdown with 1:46 on the clock. And just like that, we are tied. From down 28 to tied. Unbelievable. Beckham beat Norman on that play. Then he stepped right over him, which could have been called taunting. No flag was thrown. Cam Newton showed why he's the MVP. He led a 49-yard drive from his own 26, which included a 16-yard pass to Greg Olsen, who had a touchdown in this game, a 12-yard pass to Ted Ginn Jr., who had 2 touchdowns in the game, and then a clutch 10-yard scramble by Newton, which set up Graham Gano for the game-winning 43-yard field goal as time expired. Gano drilled it, and Carolina goes to 14-0 with a wild 38-35 victory over the G-Men. Hope you had the over. Listen to these numbers for Cam Newton. 340 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, 100 yards rushing on just 8 carries. I mean, that is an MVP performance on the road. I never thought that this team would be scoring like they are. 33 plus points in 5 straight games and 6 out of 7. We knew coming in that they could play defense. Everybody knew that. But the offensive production is unreal with this group of wide receivers. Jonathan Stewart did not even play yesterday at running back. Wow. 14-0. Carolina finishes up at Atlanta and home versus Tampa Bay. We'll have to wait and see what they do with their starters, especially in that final game. It's risky business in a league where guys get hurt every single Sunday. Especially that last game, you do see some teams rest their players. We'll see what Coach Rivera is going to do there. Eli threw 4 touchdowns for the Giants, but they missed golden opportunities. Beckham dropped a bomb that should have been an early touchdown. He did nothing in the first half, which is probably why he was so upset. Rogers Cromartie dropped a potential pick six early on that was right in his lap with nothing but green ahead of him. But that's the Giants. Consistently inconsistent. And there is no way, I heard a lot of media bobbleheads picking the Giants. There is no way I could pick the Giants in this game because that's what they are. They're inconsistent. You never know what they're going to give you. And that is why they are 6-8. As Bill Parcells used to say, you are what your record says you are. They're under 500 for a reason. Now, because the division is so brutal, they're only one game back with two to play. They go to Minnesota and then host Philadelphia. New York does not control its own destiny, though. If Washington wins Saturday night in Philadelphia, the Redskins win the NFC East. Period. End of story. It's over. Washington took care of Buffalo on Sunday, 35-25. I'll get to that and much more. All of Sunday's games coming up. But first, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, and that is iHome. The holiday season is here. Christmas is just a few days away, and iHome has the perfect gift for all of your family members and your friends. From the portable, color-changing IBT-74 to the 100% waterproof IBN6, iHome has all of your Bluetooth needs covered. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, yep, wireless, iHome has that combination that you're looking for, great value with exceptional quality. iHome also offers a full line of headphones and earbuds if you have a fitness guru or a traveler in your family or just for somebody who likes to hang out and relax. Go to iHomeAudio.com, look at all their great products. You can also check out the apps and the accessories. iHome is the number one brand in digital speakers. The sound quality can't be beat. Wait till you hear it. Do your holiday shopping with iHome. That's iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode number 396 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. Also in the podcast section of iTunes, and I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. All right, let's get to Washington. I told you the scenario. Redskins win Saturday night in Philly. Get another Saturday matchup here. The division is over, and that's because Washington took care of business against Buffalo 35-25. Kirk Cousins, 22 of 28, 319, four touchdowns, no interceptions, and he ran for a score. I mean, he was darn near perfect in this game. Washington was up 21-0 at halftime. They are 7-7. They're playing great football at home. Buffalo's 6-8. Bills will miss the playoffs for the 16th straight year. That's the longest current drought in the NFL. LeSean McCoy injured his knee early in the second half in this one. But back to Cousins, because he is the talk of the D.C. area right now. He has six 300-yard games this year. That's a franchise record. And there are so few good quarterbacks in the league. I think he's earned the right to be the starter. And I have had my doubts. When a lot of the media bobbleheads were jumping all over this guy early on in his career, I was hesitant. And then you saw him throw interception after interception after interception. Well, he got another chance. RG3 is an afterthought right now, and he's playing better. His rookie contract ends after this season, so it's decision time in Washington. If they can't work out a long-term deal, they could franchise, and that's going to cost around $19 million. Big bucks, no whammies, stop. For you Press Your Luck fans, the greatest game show of all time. Either way, I think Cousins has to be back in Washington. I mean, trying to find a quarterback in the NFL nowadays, it's tough. I mean, it really is. So I think he's earned his spot. Finishing up the NFC East, the Eagles lost at home in prime time to the Cardinals 40-17. This was actually a 7-point game at the break. And then Philly had some critical fumbles in the third quarter, back-to-back, one by Sam Bradford, one by Ryan Matthews. Arizona took advantage, iced it with a 39-yard pick six by Deion Buchanan early in the fourth quarter. A rookie running back, David Johnson, out of Northern Iowa, went off. 187 yards, three touchdowns. He got 54 points in my fantasy football league. And of course, I'm playing him in the playoffs. Story of my life. I'm the number one seed. I already lost Jamal Charles way back when. Still got the number one seed. I'm still in it. I need Theo Riddick to get me 7 points for the Lions at New Orleans Monday Night Football to win. But never did I think it would come down to Theo Riddick. Johnson is a big back, 225. And you know the weapons that Carson Palmer has at a wide receiver. Johnson had one long touchdown run. I think he broke 5 or 6 tackles. Just pathetic tackling in this game by the Eagles defense. Arizona's a legit Super Bowl contender at 12-2. The Cardinals clinched their first division title since 2009. They have won 8 in a row. We have some teams right now that are on unbelievable streaks. The 12 wins for Arizona, that's a franchise record. As for Chip Kelly's crew, they are 6-8. They still control their own destiny, believe it or not. If the Birds beat Washington at home on Saturday and then win the finale on the road against the Giants, they will win the division. 6-8, you control your own destiny. Unbelievable. Bradford passed for 361, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. DeMarco Murray, the $40 million man, had all of 2 carries. 2 of them. He's been 3rd on the depth chart behind Matthews and the little guy, Darren Sproles. He's been a total bust in Philadelphia compared to what he did in Dallas when he led the whole league in rushing just 1 season ago. Now, they made a big story about it. Michaels and Collinsworth, I think, do a good job, but this is nothing new. Again, I live an hour outside of Philadelphia. The radio station that I work at carries the Philadelphia Eagles, so this is nothing new to people around here. Murray has not been getting a lot of touches for several weeks now, but they did make a big deal about it on the national telecast. Let's go across the state to Pittsburgh. Great AFC matchup. A fantastic Steelers offense against the Broncos' number one defense. And Brock Osweiler still at quarterback for the injured Peyton Manning. Denver looked really good early. They led 27-10 late in the second quarter. They're up 17 on the road. Steelers, however, dominated the second half. Big Ben hooked up with Antonio Brown for 2 touchdowns. Another monster season for Brown. The go-ahead 23-yard strike came with 3.5 minutes to go. That came after a pivotal interception by Osweiler. He was picked up by Ryan Shazier, Pittsburgh linebacker. But Big Ben gave Denver one more shot with an awful interception with 2 minutes remaining. I was surprised that they didn't run the ball. It was a second down play. You don't expect Roethlisberger, who's been around forever, to make that type of mistake, but he did. He was looking for the running back out of the backfield who wasn't open even a little bit. He still threw it, got picked off. But Osweiler tossed 4 straight incompletions, and that ended the game from the Steelers' 41-yard line. 34-27, the final. Tremendous comeback for the Steelers, who are 9-5. Big Ben passed for 380, put it up in the air 55 times. And these aren't your dad's Pittsburgh Steelers. They aren't winning with defense. They chuck and duck all over the place. 40-55 for Big Ben, 3 touchdowns. How about the day for Antonio Brown? 16 catches, 189 yards. Martavis Bryant had 10 catches. Pittsburgh had 0 running game. It was all through the air. And Denver has outstanding corners, but they got burnt in this one. Osweiler looked super in the first half, not so much in the second half. Might have been due to a bruised shoulder, left shoulder. That happened in the second quarter. He wound up with 296 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and a rushing TD. Denver is 10-4, but the Broncos have not clinched a playoff berth. They're only one game up on the red-hot Kansas City Chiefs. Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and the Jets are all 9-5. If the Steelers win out, they are in. They have Baltimore and Cleveland both on the road. You'd think that they'd be favored in those games. Steelers should be able to take care of business. The Jets are now on the outside looking in, even with their comeback victory over the Cowboys Saturday night, 19-16. And they really struggled against a bad Dallas club. New York hosts the Patriots, who are 12-2. That's not going to be easy. And then the Jets go to Buffalo end of the year. Kansas City home against the Browns, who are 3-11. And then the Raiders, who are 6-8. So the Jets clearly have the toughest schedule of three with the Patriots in the mix there. Pittsburgh and Kansas City should not lose the rest of the way. Now, in the NFL, we never know. There is a scenario to keep in mind where Kansas City wins the AFC West, the Jets and the Broncos tie, New York would get in over Denver. The Jets would have the tiebreaker in that scenario. Again, the Broncos, even though they have double-digit wins, still have not wrapped up a playoff berth. Chiefs had little trouble at Baltimore, 34-14. One of the Ravens' TDs was a 48-yard Hail Mary right before halftime from Jimmy Clausen to Kamar Aiken. Kansas City's defense scored twice, a 73-yard fumble return by Tyvon Branch, and a 90-yard pick six by Marcus Peters late. That's 8 consecutive wins by Kansas City after a 1-5 start. No other team in league history has won 8 in a row after 5 straight losses. And they're doing it without Charles at running back, one of the best in the league. Have to give Big Red Andy Reid credit here. And they continue to win the turnover battle, which is the most important stat in football. The Chiefs are plus 15 in that category. To the pathetic AFC South, first place up for grabs at Indianapolis, a place where the Texans had never won. That's right, they were 0-13. Houston's top 2 quarterbacks were hurt. Enter Brandon Whedon. Yes, sir. You remember him, the former Cowboy? Well, he led Houston to a 16-10 comeback victory over the Colts. Brian Hoyer has a concussion. T.J. Yates left with a knee injury late in the first half. Texans were down 10-3 at halftime. They took the lead on an 8-yard pass from Whedon to Jalen Strong with 10.5 minutes to go. That capped a 90-yard drive. On the Colts' final drive, Matt Hasselbeck, who's in again for Andrew Luck, heaved a deep ball that was easily picked off, and there was still time to play here. It looked more like a punt than a pass. Total misread by Hasselbeck, and that ended it. Houston 7-7, Indy 6-8. Not much offense to speak of. Whedon 11 of 18, 105 yards, a touchdown. Hasselbeck 17-30, 147, a touchdown, and that pick. Alfred Blue ran for 107. Frank Gore averaged just 2.8 a carry. The Colts were held to 190 total yards. Houston's at Tennessee. The Titans are 3-11. And then Houston's home against Jacksonville. The Jags are 5-9. But a big win Sunday for Houston. Jaguars gagged at home versus Atlanta, 23-17. Falcons had lost 6 in a row. This was even at 17 through 3 quarters. A 31-yard pass interference penalty set up a 33-yard go-ahead field goal by Shane Graham with 10.5 minutes on the clock. Graham added a 46-yarder late for the final margin. Jacksonville had its chances. Blake Bortles missed Allen Hurns over the middle for a possible touchdown on their final drive. And then back in the second quarter, time winding down, Bortles was picked off on a first and goal from the 1. Initially, it appeared like time ran out. 2 seconds were put back on the clock, and Atlanta got a field goal to go up 17-3. That was a potential 10-point swing in the game. Jags are at the 1. Instead, they give up a field goal going the other way. Huge sequence there. Bortles threw for 297, a touchdown pass, and a touchdown run. Matt Ryan, 22-35, 246, and a score with one interception. Neither squad could run it at all. The Jags are 2 out with 2 to play in that AFC South. The Falcons are 7-7, 2 back of Minnesota for a wild card spot in the NFC. The Seahawks are 9-5. They have won 5 straight, but they can't gain any ground on the Cardinals because Arizona keeps on winning. Seattle rolled over the Browns 30-13. Russell Wilson threw 3 more touchdown passes, 2 to Doug Baldwin, 1 to Tyler Lockett early in the 4th to give the Seahawks a 17-point lead. They clinched a playoff berth with the victory. Wilson finished 21-30, 249, and said, "Take that, Mike Pettin," who said he wasn't an elite quarterback going into this. Why you would ever make a comment like that the week before you're playing a guy is beyond me, but Pettin did. Wilson is the only quarterback with 5 straight games with 3 or more touchdown passes and 0 interceptions. He's the only quarterback ever to do that. Baldwin has been his primary target. He tied a guy by the name of Jerry Rice, who had a record 10 touchdowns over a 4-game stretch in a single season. So they are now together. And if you're on a list with Jerry Rice, that's a good thing. Seattle's a team you don't want to see in the playoffs. Johnny Football ended up 19-32, 161 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Minnesota won big over the visiting Bears, 38-17. Teddy Bridgewater was as efficient as you can be. 17-20, 231, 4 touchdowns, which ties a career high. He also ran for a score. Vikings ended their 2-game slide, and they sit 1 game behind the Packers in the NFC North. Bears had 2 turnovers. Jay Cutler was sacked 5 times. Alshon Jeffrey hurt his hamstring in the 3rd quarter. Not a good day. They are 5-9. Chicago was out of this one early. Adrian Peterson injured his left ankle. He did miss some time, so that's something we'll have to keep an eye on there. Green Bay won at Oakland 30-20 to get to 10-4. It wasn't easy, though. This was a roller coaster game. The Packers jumped up 14-0 in the first quarter, thanks to a 43-yard pick 6 by Demarius Randall. Raiders rallied and actually took a 20-17 lead on Derek Carr's 2nd touchdown pass of the game to the rookie Amari Cooper. How good has he been, youngster out of Alabama? That was a 26-yard touchdown in the 3rd quarter. Green Bay answered 1 minute later with a 30-yard score from Rodgers to James Jones. Busted coverage on that play by the Raiders. Mason Crosby chipped in 2 short field goals in the 4th quarter for the 10-point margin. Green Bay struggled, though, in the red zone. They have some things that they need to clean up. Packers did wrap up a franchise record 7th straight postseason berth. Raiders will miss the playoffs for a 13th consecutive season. But I think they are headed in the right direction. You have the quarterback. You have a star receiver there. Neither quarterback played great in this game. Rodgers, 22-39, only 204 yards, touchdown and an interception. Carr had 2 killer picks early on, completed just under 50%, 23-47, 276, 2 touchdowns. Green Bay's won 3 in a row. Now they go to Arizona. That won't be easy. And then they host Minnesota, which could decide the NFC North. Again, the Vikings are 1 game back. Let's head back to the AFC. As far as the number 1 seed is concerned, New England's 12-2, Cincinnati 11-3. Both faced bad teams week 15. Patriots crushed the Titans 33-16. Tom Brady threw for 267 and two touchdowns, one to Gronk, who had five catches for 54 yards. Tennessee had three turnovers and lost rookie quarterback Marcus Mariota to a knee injury in the second quarter. He did say that he could have come back in the game. The injuries continue to mount for New England. They lost Amendola at wide receiver, Hightower at linebacker, Chung at safety. They're already without running backs Deion Lewis and LeGarrette Blount, who are done for the season. Patriots will clinch the number one seed with one more win. They have the Jets and the Dolphins left. The Bengals used a big second quarter to defeat the 49ers 24-14. 21 of Cincinnati's points came in the second. Jeremy Hill had a pair of one-yard runs. A.J. McCarron, who made his first start, he's in for Andy Dalton, who's out with the broken right thumb. He hit Tyler Croft for a 20-yard score 1 minute before halftime. 49ers turned it over four times, three of them in that decisive second quarter. They also had 11 penalties. San Francisco actually outgained Cincinnati in this game. McCarron only passed for 192. Blaine Gabbert threw for 295, a touchdown, three interceptions. Cincinnati did not run it well. Hill averaged 1.6 a pop, Bernard 2.4. So that's something they're going to have to work on. Bengals are going to the playoffs for a fifth consecutive season, but they are going to need Dalton at quarterback to move forward. Finally, what may be the last game in San Diego, out of talk of the franchise moving to LA after 55 years in San Diego. Chargers went out on top 30-14 over the Dolphins. Phillip Rivers threw for 311, three touchdowns, all three of them to Danny Woodhead, who also ran for a score, which helps out one of my fantasy teams. After the game, Rivers, Malcolm Floyd, Eric Weddle, Coach McCoy came back onto the field, greeted the fans, signed some autographs. Pretty cool scene there. We all know that the NFL wants a team in LA. That is no surprise. It's a major media market right up there with New York. But San Diego's got a very colorful history with great players. Go back to the Dan Fouts days. I'd like to see the Chargers stay put. Keep the powder blue in San Diego. What do you think? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. And again, I also want to know, do you think Odell Beckham Jr. should be suspended after what he did, especially that helmet-to-helmet hit in the Carolina game? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. This is episode number 396, closing in on the big 400 as we head towards Christmas and 2016. Thanks to all the loyal listeners, all the loyal followers, again on Twitter at the Sports RPT. I'm in the podcast section on iTunes. Just search for The Sports Report and my show will come up there. And you can download all the previous shows as well. Let's get to college football. I'm sorry, I just can't get into a lot of these bowl games. I mean, it is brutal. The Las Vegas Bowl I thought was interesting because you had a rivalry, BYU and Utah. BYU kept turning it over and over and over and over again. Horrible start. The Utes got up huge and then had to hang on for dear life. They won it 35-28. Crazy game. Some of these other matchups, though, who in the heck is watching unless you went to one of these schools? North Carolina A&T versus Alcorn State. Appalachian State versus Ohio. San Jose State versus Georgia State. Louisiana Tech and Arkansas State. Today, it's Western Kentucky and South Florida. Tuesday, it is the famous Idaho Potato Bowl between Akron and Utah State. Sounds like an instant classic to me. Wednesday, you get Georgia Southern versus Bowling Green. I would rather go bowling. Seriously, I haven't bowled in a while. It's fun. Christmas Eve, Middle Tennessee and Western Michigan. Like, you won't be busy on Christmas Eve. Who is watching? I got to find out the ratings of that. Middle Tennessee, Western Michigan. I could go on, but you get the picture. 41 bowl games is a joke. Can we please fast forward to New Year's Eve and the national semifinals? Please. So I will ask you, I think you know where I stand. Are there too many bowl games? Let me know on Twitter at @thesportsrpt. Who is watching this? Way too many bowl games. You know, they say too much of a good thing can be bad. Well, this is a prime example. I love college football, but come on. To the NBA, and this is a story that might have got lost in the shuffle with everyone glued to the NFL this weekend. First, let me be clear. I think Jimmy Butler's a great player. He's averaging 21 points, 5 rebounds, almost 2 steals. He is Chicago's best player now, not Derrick Rose. It's not close. Rose is shooting 37% from the field. Ouch. But you don't do what Butler did this weekend, which is criticize your new head coach in front of the media. After losing to the Knicks Saturday, Butler said, quote, "We probably have to be coached a lot harder at times. I know Fred is a laid-back guy, and I really respect him for that. But when guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do, you have to get on guys, myself included. I think Hoiberg has to hold everybody accountable," end quote. Number one, if you have a beef with your coach, you go directly to him first, not the media. Number two, the Bulls had a taskmaster as head coach in Tom Thibodeau, and he got canned. In 5 seasons, Thibodeau went 255 and 139, and that wasn't good enough. He won 65% of his games, got to the playoffs every season, but the Bulls front office wanted a change in approach, so they got rid of that old school coach and brought in a player's coach in Fred Hoiberg, who I like. You know, I watch a ton of college hoops. He did a wonderful job at Iowa State. Very offensive-minded, very innovative. So, sorry, Jimmy Butler. Now you got to deal with it. You had a tough coach, and you guys didn't get the job done. So, the front office axed him. It is too late now. You can't go back in time. And Butler's a great player. But I disagree with what he did to Hoiberg over the weekend. And they've only played 25 games. Jeez, I mean, can you give the new coach a break? Played 25 games. We're not even into January yet. A lot of people aren't even paying attention to the NBA. And he's talking about what the coach needs to do. Your take on that is welcome on Twitter at @thesportsrpt. You can sound off on what happened in Chicago. Jimmy Butler, Fred Hoiberg. I'm on Twitter at @thesportsrpt. Thanks so much for tuning in for all of these years. Appreciate it. Have a Merry Christmas. Remember the true reason for the season. Spend some time with your family and friends as well. All the best in 2016. I will be back on Monday with a brand new show right here on The Grizz. Have a great holiday, everybody. This has been episode number 396 of The Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.